All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this session about managing multi-hypervisor environments with System Center 2012. I'm very glad that you're all here, even though it was a country drink yesterday and I saw a lot of people going out having a great party. So I all hope you enjoyed that very much. But today, third day of TechEd, so we continue with some sessions. So my name is Mike Ressler. I am a Microsoft evangelist, that's my title. I don't work for Microsoft, I work for Veeam Software, although I still have that title. But what does it mean? That I can play around all day long with Microsoft technologies and see where it's a fit in the enterprise together with our products. What we're going to talk about today is, if I get this thing working, very simple. We're going to start very briefly giving a small overview of the private cloud. Why I'm going to do this, this is just a repeat. I assume that many of you have heard this word all over again this year, last year, TechEd or whatever sessions you've been to on webinars. But we're going to have a small overview to show you what I want to reach at the end of the session. And at the end of the session, the idea should be that whether you're running Hyper-V, whether you're running VMware or Xen Server, you should be able to manage and monitor it together with System Center. And then I'm going to talk about no comparison. If you're here in this session because you want to hear the differences between VMware and Hyper-V, you're not going to get it from me. On the contrary, I'm one of those guys that don't believe in those kind of sessions because it's very difficult to compare them. After that, we're going to talk about what kind of System Center tools you can use to actually monitor and manage those environments. We're going to talk about Virtual Machine Manager. We're going to talk about Operations Manager. You need to have insight into your hypervisor layer. We're going to talk about Orchestrator to see what we can automate in those hypervisors. And then in the end, I'm going to give you an example that will show you that you can bring all these tools together as one suite and still manage those hypervisors. So let's get this started. So first, this is one of my favorite slides. It's already a couple of years old, but it tells me actually what you need to do when you're thinking in your environment about the private cloud. Because in the end, we're talking about people, not anymore about technology. And within this slide, you've got two persons. You've got the application owner, and you've got the data center admin. And most of the time, we are the data center administrators, so we got some things that we have to think about. We need to have security, we need to be able to manage our things, but we need to help that application owner. That's the most important part of our job. We should think about it. Now, the issue is that many of us probably do a lot of work for that application owner while they can't do the real work because, you know, they have a lot of demands. And System Center will bring you a few of these things. It will make sure that you can manage, monitor, operate your environment while still giving the service to your application owner that he, or in this case she, actually needs. And important here is that there's self-service. And self-service is very important in this talk about the private cloud, that he or she can do things on their own, still knowing that you are in control of it and that you know what's happening in your environment. And that is what I'm going to try to show you in the end at that example. If I can go from one self-service part, go through this entire silo, make sure that it's monitored by Operations Manager, that things are done through Virtual Machine Manager, and that automation has been done on the hypervisor, without actually the administrator needing to do something besides one thing, approving the request. And even that is an option at that moment. And these are the tools that you probably have heard all week around it. Now, I'm not going to go deep dive. I know it's 10:15. I know you all been to the country drink, so today deep dive would be terrible. But all of these different tools have deep dive sessions or have labs on this conference, and you can still see them afterwards on Channel 9, I believe they will be posted. So if you want to go on a specific suite a little bit more deeper, then you have to look at one of those sessions afterwards. All right. So as I said, this is not a comparison. I'm not going to try to compare VMware with Hyper-V, with Xen Server, and I'm also not going to compare anything that has to do with System Center versus the VMware tools versus those from HP, CA. I'm not going to do that. And there's a reason for that. One of the things, if you think about the hypervisor layer, today it has become a commodity. And when people ask me, what is the best hypervisor for me, my answer would be, I don't know. What do you need? And depending on those needs, depending on what you need to have to service your end users, There you're going to take your decision. It could be that you work in an environment where you have 10, 15 experienced VMware administrators. Why go to Hyper-V at that time if you know that you will need to rechange all their education? Well, it could be that you are a startup and that you want to save on costs and that your people don't haven't got any studies at all, and a Hyper-V could be more interesting. So it doesn't matter. You have to look at your own environment. The same with the management tools. In the end, what we want is one management suite that not only will manage our hardware, but also our storage, our networking, our hypervisors, and everything else, our operating systems, our applications, and preferred that is done from one suite. And it would be even better that if you change at a certain moment, you make a decision to switch from Xen to VMware or whatever, that you still can continue that same management tools without needing to change too much. And that is the session about. What I'm going to try to tell you is that with System Center, you can manage all these stuff. And even if you change from vendor or go to other operating systems or use other applications, that you'll still be able to use those management tools the day afterwards, and that you don't have to change everything just to be able to run this in your environment for the end users. Now, one of the things that I want to make very clear within this session is the moment you really think about using the power of System Center or any other management suite at the moment is that you're going to have to break down silos. Now, this is, well, actually, that is my real boss up there and a couple of my colleagues. And this is the way we used to work, and still many companies work like this. So you got the monitoring guy, which is me. I shaved this morning, but normally that is me. We got the virtual guy, Rick, that does everything that has to do with our virtualization layer. Then we got a storage guy, which is very keen on all his SANs and DAS and whatever he's running around, and nobody can touch it. And then we got the service desk guy, who's a nice guy with his team that will fill in the requests and make sure it gets to the right people. Now, what happened in reality many years ago, and still happens in many companies, is that there's a request of a developer saying, well, you know what? I need a new virtual machine. So that service desk guy types in all the information. Maybe they got a little bit more advanced so that the guy could do it himself. But anyway, it gets to the service guy. So that guy sends over a request to the virtual guy and says, you know what? We need a new virtual machine. And that virtual machine guy says, yeah, no problem. I can deliver it. But by the way, I need to have storage. Now, the problem with the storage guy is that he's very busy. Or maybe he's on holiday. So by the time we get the storage, we're 3 weeks further. And it comes back to the virtual guy, but at that time, that guy was just going to a conference. So we're 1 week further again. And it goes back to the service desk guy, and then he notifies me and says, hey, we got a new virtual machine running. Can you take this into the monitoring? So I do my work, goes back to the service desk guy. Okay, I'm a lazy guy as well, so we got again 2 days of delay. And then finally, after 4, 5, whatever, it's maybe a little bit too much that I choose here, but sometimes it can take a long time, the end user gets notified, hey, dear developer, you can run, you can start working. Guess what? Next time, he's going to take his credit card, he's going to go to Azure and ask himself a virtual machine and does his work. 50 minutes, make it 1 hour, and he's running, right? Now, we can do that as well, on-premise, get that control and make sure that everything stays with us. But to be able to do that means we need to break down those silos. That means from the moment the service desk guy gets that request for the virtual machine, that means he has to be able to start a few workflows, optimization, that will do this entire process automatically. And it doesn't mean that the virtual guy is losing his feel over his layer. He still knows what's happening. He still gets notified. He still sees what's happening. And he actually built those workflows as well. The same for the storage guy. He's not just saying, here's my SAN, use whatever you want. No, he just dedicated an amount of storage to be able to run those. And the monitoring guy will be the guy that says, hey, storage guy, by the way, we have been deploying 20 VMs lately. That storage that you gave us, it's getting full. What do you need? Can we build a new one? Do we need to buy new storage? That kind of things. But we have to break down those silos saying, this is my work, leave me alone. And it's going to be very important if you want to do this with those System Center suite management tools. All right. Let's start with one of those tools, the first component within that suite that we're going to use today, and that's Virtual Machine Manager. And Virtual Machine Manager is going to be the tool that will look over all of our hypervisors. Again, this can be VMware, this can be Hyper-V, this can be Xen Server. Now, Microsoft has built this technology and they call it their fabrics. Now, whether you call this fabrics or you call this resources, it doesn't matter. In the end, what you need to think of the moment, and that is very important for that virtual guy, from the moment he starts working with virtual machine management, he has to start dividing different things. You got compute, CPU, memory. You got storage. Hey, here's a storage guy giving some raw storage to be able to use to deploy VMs on. You got some network. One of the guys actually forgot on my slide, but he's also important because every new VM needs to be connected to the work. And then that's a discussion between many people whether you see a cluster as a fabric or not. I think it's part of the fabric, but that's a discussion. And it doesn't even matter whether you say yes or no. In the end, you have to think you're going to give a lot of hardware, bring it together, and instead of saying, I got five virtual servers running, at that moment you're going to say, I got 20 physical CPUs ready, I got 512 gigs of RAM, I got 10 terabytes of storage ready, my network is lying around, I got five VLANs for those machines, and they are built inside a cluster so you can live migrate. And that's how you have to start to think, no more boxes, just fabrics, how much do I have? And that is a very important concept. And then it doesn't matter anymore what you're running. Can be Hyper-V, can be Citrix, can be VMware. It's just compute, it's just storage, it's a fabric, right? Now, if you want to do this with Xen Server, you of course have got some prerequisites to enter those into Virtual Machine Manager. To begin with, you need Xen Server 6.0 or higher, and you need to install the Microsoft System Center integration pack. Is it difficult? No. Is it easy to get? Well, if you got Xen Server, then you probably are locked on to the site of Citrix, you got a username, and you can download it there for free. It doesn't cost you any money, but you have to get it from the Citrix server themselves. And you also get some additional requirements, because when you, for example, use transfer VMs, that is using Xen Server to move around things or to mount virtual machines, then you need a DHCP server that can, where the Xen Server can actually reach that DHCP server. Why? Well, the transfer VM is a temporary VM that gets started. It needs to get an IP, needs to be able to get on the network, and then it uses a second requirement, bits or HTTP. It will send over that VM to the right location, and that will delete that transfer VM again. But you need those for sure if you want to do this. Now, very important with this bit server, because this is something I see a lot, it needs to be enabled. And by default on Windows Server 2008, it's not. And it has to be on the Virtual Machine Manager library server. Not on the Virtual Machine Manager server itself, the one that you're using as a library. If you've got an all-in-one installment, yeah, then it's of course the same. But if you're separating in different servers, then think about it to enable bits. I believe from 2008 R2, this is done by default. It's certainly by 2012, but make sure that is checked. And lastly, and that's also very important, VMM will directly manage Xen. It doesn't need the tools of Citrix. It will talk to those hosts itself. But that also means that your VMM server needs to have contact with all of these hosts. So think about it. Now, what can we do? And the first one seems a little bit strange, but it's the Virtual Machine Manager Command Shell, or PowerShell. Now, this is a feature that works on VMware, on Xen, and on Hyper-V. That means if you use Virtual Machine Manager, you build your scripts in PowerShell through VMM. It also means if you change from hypervisor, your scripts will continue to work. You don't need to change things. So I think that's a very powerful feature. Now, you can add, of course, your Xen server hosts. You can add your pools. You can use placement, for example. With placement, that means that automatically, when you deploy a virtual machine, it will choose the right host that has the most capabilities for that specific virtual machine. There's many more. There's this concept, and I will show you that in a demo as well, of services in Virtual Machine Manager. Very, very powerful concept where you can actually build different virtual machines with specific settings and just deploy it 1, 2, 3, 5, I don't know how many times, based on a single template. You can use that with Xen as well. You can, of course, build private clouds, and I will show you that as well, where you're going to say, well, this is my private cloud, number of CPUs, number of memory, and so on, and so on. Yeah? You can use dynamic optimization and power optimization. Well, your hardware needs to support it, of course. But you can say, for example, well, to be smart, we'll move all the VMs to 2-3 hosts, and the other two we can shut down because we got power enough. Oh, it's morning, 8 o'clock, people start to work. We need to boot those machines back up and make sure those machines are better arranged between the hosts. You can do all that from VMM. Migration, yes, of course. But you can easily migrate virtual machines between those hosts. You can use maintenance mode. You can say from VMM, look, I'm going to go in maintenance mode. Means all the virtual machines will be migrated to the other hosts. And then you can shut down one to make sure it works. And you got many more of these features that you have. Now, I'm not going to talk about all of them. Those slides will be available, so you can take them with you, because I want to spend a bit more time on my demos to show those. Now, a few things are not supported. One of the things is if you want to do a host-to-host migration of a stopped virtual machine. So if you got your Xen server and your machine is stopped, you cannot do a migration from Xen to Hyper-V or VMware. What you can do, if it's running, then you can do a migration so that it gets migrated to those machines as well. But if it's stopped, it's not possible. In VMM, there's also this feature where you can automatically update your Hyper-V host with the latest Windows updates. That can be done through VMM, but if you're using Xen, then it's not possible. But if you're using Xen, I'm pretty sure you have another update management system ready to do that work. And the last one is, with VMM, you can create a bare metal deployment of a Hyper-V host through VMM. This can't be done by Xen as well. This means that your Xen server has to be built, ready, pools have been deployed, the network has connected, before you actually add it to VMM. So think about that as well when you want to use this. All right. About troubleshooting, very simple, actually. About every implementation I have done on Xen, which unfortunately aren't that much. But when it doesn't work, when you cannot add your host to VMM, it was because I couldn't ping the machine, the DNS was not okay, and that is very important that the DNS worked. And last but not least, that people forgot to install the supplement pack. Now what you see here, that line of code with WinRM, is actually the way to check whether it's installed, yes or no. So again, if you get the slides, you can copy it off and use that in your deployments. Let's talk quickly about adding VMware servers. So what's supported? vCenter 4.1, 5.1, and 5.0, and 5.1. 5.1 only starting from VMM 2012 SP1. Think about that. From ESX perspective, 4.1 and ESXi, 4.1, 5.0, and 5.1. Again, a whole bunch of features that you can use. Again, the same remarks as with Xen. You have to build your VMware server first, make sure you got all your storage ready, your networking, and then add it to your environment before you can do that. But you can use from VMM maintenance mode, you can use migration, you can use those services again. Oh, maybe very important about those services. Services can also be looked at as the vApp implementation of VMware. Now, while you cannot manage vApps through VMM, you can use them at the same time. On the other hand, I'm back here with not getting a vendor lock-in. If I've got services here which I can use over multi-hypervisors, why would I use vApps and not use services, knowing that if I change hypervisor, I still can use those on my other hypervisor and don't have to start from zero again? Oh, one more thing on this slide also. One of the features you also have in VMM is performance and resource optimization, PRO, which means that based on some calculations, some maths and so on, it will move VMs to other hosts based on intelligence to make sure that you don't have overload on one host while the other host is sleeping. Now, very important, if you're going to use this on VMware, then or you're going to use it through VMM, or you're going to use vCenter, one of the two. Don't use them at the same time because they will start fighting against each other, which is, of course, not what you want, that your VMs are hopping from host to host all the time. So it's one of the two. Which is one is the best? I have no idea. Most of the time, they kind of react the same. But you have to use or this or the other and not the two at the same time. All right. Again, some things that are not supported. Update management, same thing as Xen. Bare metal deployments, doesn't work. Cluster creation of your ESX doesn't work as well through VMM. You have to do it first through vCenter, through any other tool that you're using, before you can add that cluster into VMM. And last but not least, Hyper-V has something called dynamic memory. If you're going to look at VMM, you can actually create machines with dynamic memory support, but VMware does not have dynamic memory, so it is, of course, not supported as well. All right. Let's see. Let's go to the demo environment here and see what we can do. Oh, sorry. Here we go. So in my demo environment, I don't have Xen servers anymore, unfortunately, but I do have a very simple two-node VMware cluster, and this is what it is. It's important, it was ready first, and you just got my overview of one of my ESX hosts, right? You can see here that I have no services running. I've got this one host, I've got some virtual machines running, how my memory is doing. And if I go, for example, to my other ESX server, you will see other things. You will see that this one in memory level is not doing as good. You can see some performance and so on. But again, I told you about thinking on those fabrics. And this is exactly where you're going to do this into Virtual Machine Manager. I'm here at the fabric layer. And you will see if I'm going to go to my logical networks that I've got my networks from that VMware environment imported automatically into Virtual Machine Manager. Now, as you can see, you can build there a demo. Well, in this case, it was a demo network that I can attach and so on. But everything that you already built within VMware or Xen will be automatically imported. You can see that you can work with MAC address pools. You can even build load balancers here. So let's say you got a load balancer, not maybe not the Microsoft, but one from F5 or maybe a Citrix NetScaler itself. You can import those, connect to them through VMM. And then you can build VIP templates. That means that you can give your developers the possibility to deploy something with a load balancer for testing, for development, for whatever, based on your settings. You don't need to do anymore. You just built that template, say, yeah, you're allowed to do that over port 443. You're going to use round robin, and so on, and so on. Depending, of course, what features you will be able to give those guys will depend on the hardware you're using. And there are many more things. You can do classifications. Now, very important about these classifications with storage is that you need to have storage that's SMIS capable. And that is just, you know, something that most vendors today support. But if you still need to buy storage today or in the next couple of months, call your vendor and ask if it supports, because that is going to be very important, not only in this suite, but other tools will use that as well to connect to storage to do some stuff. And then you can build things like gold, bronze, silver, and so on. Unfortunately, my demo environment is not that expensive. It's just a bunch of disks in a server, so I don't get SMIS capability, but then you can actually do this. And then we can start building. For example, if I go to virtual machines and services, what I can do now is very easily create a cloud. And what I'm going to do here, and this is take it Europe, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go, no description. And then I can choose which host I'm going to use. Now, in my case, I've got two data centers, Atlanta, St. Petersburg. So one is maybe here, one is the other. So you can already start choosing here where your developers or where the people that will use this private cloud can use it. Now, in my case, I don't worry about it. I'll just say, give me everything. Going to go next. Then I'm going to choose which networks they're allowed to choose. Now, I have no problem that they're on my LAN WAN DMZ. They also can use my storage network. And here we are. Are they allowed to use specific load balancers within that private cloud? Well, why not? Here we go. Maybe I have built I've got a demo template, a VIP template for those load balancers. I can use port classifications. I can select my storage. Again, I don't have SMIS here today. Otherwise, I would be able to say, use this, use this, use this. And this is very much used when you got those sandboxes where you can say, well, this cloud only on the slow storage of the SAN, and so on, and so on. Then we give them the possibility to use some libraries within VMM. That means if they got that right to use that library or a part of that library, they will be able to use the ISOs that are inside there, the templates that you have created. So all that stuff they can actually use. And you can also give them a path to a specific part in that library. That means the people that are using those private clouds can store virtual machines, templates, or whatever at that place to be used themselves. So everything here, of course, depends on the needs that you have for your private clouds. And then we can actually start deciding how much fabrics we're going to give them. And in this case, I'm starting with unlimited. But I can say, for example, no, this private cloud just gets 10 virtual CPUs. I'm going to give him, let's see, maybe 20 gigs that they can use. Storage, that's a bit too much. Let's just give him 2 tera that I'm not going to use. And the maximum they can deploy is 10 virtual machines or something. And this way, you can build up your private clouds by just giving them fabrics. And the end user or the developer, whoever needs a virtual machine, won't be able to know where his virtual machine is running. And you can divide very well all those physical boxes, what you want to do it, who gets access to what, and so on. He just sees, or she just sees, how much do I still have left? What can I use to deploy something? And then we just go next. Here you can choose what kind of hosts you can use. That means indeed that you can build a private cloud based out of 5 VMware servers, 3 Hyper-V boxes, 2 Citrix servers without any issues, without the end user knowing on what he is running. So in my case, I have ESX server. We got our summary, and I'm building my private cloud. It's done. Now we can start doing some deployments. Now if you look at it, and this is done, all right. We here are, and we're going to go, for example, here to one of my, or just go to my cluster. Then I will be able to see everything which is running, the same way that you do with Hyper-V. You got some performance overview, it tells you how many hosts, and so on and so on. But if I go to Virtual Machine tab, then you will see all my virtual machines running, what kind of version they're running, how much CPU they're using, and so on and so on. And of course, change those as well without any problem. Now, I promised you that I was going to show you something about these services. And I've opened it up already. And this, for example, is a simple two-tier server. Now, what do I mean by tiers? It could be a service, could be a web server and a database. It also could be a web server, a middle tier that has some business knowledge, and maybe the database. Now, to build that, I only have one template that I created on VMware. And that's this one. It's a Server 2012 template that can be deployed on my VMware. And the only thing I'm going to do is drag this to my first tier. And now automatically, because I put some settings in it, it will connect to a network and so on. But the nice thing about those templates is that I now can just go to the properties of it, and I can change whatever I want, because I have one template with settings, but probably my web servers will need less memory than my SQL server and less storage and so on. So now I can simply go to these settings. First thing you can see is that you can choose how many of these you can deploy. Think about the scenario with the load balancer again. I've got one SQL server, but I might start with one web server, and when we get into trouble, I'll just automatically deploy a second one, a third one, a fourth one, depending on your settings. And if you then got those load balancers inside, everything will be done automatically for you without you needing to do something. But as you can see, I can change now my hardware configuration, give it other memory, I can give it other CPUs, and so on. I can also change my OS configuration very quickly. I can choose to give it an administrator password. By the way, this is very nice. I can actually give this to IT engineers. They can select here which Runas account they need. This one, for example. And now they are actually deploying servers with passwords, with everything they're not allowed to know. They can do that, and they still can't see what the password is or even what the user is. It's just something that I built in. You can then automatically say to which domain it needs to be joined, what kind of roles you need to install, features, and so on. And then we go one step further. Then we can start actually adding application. We can use IIS applications that we can put in here. We can install SQL through this. We can actually add databases through DAG packs to this automatically. And of course, we still can use scripting as well. But for example, if you're going to look at the SQL server configuration, then you would be able to say, here we go, new SQL servers. We're going to add a deployment. and then you can do all the configuration, the service account, and so on. And automatically, it will build up that virtual machine for you. And it doesn't care what's lying under, it just needs those fabrics. That's all it needs. And this way, you can build those up. Even if you only have one virtual machine that's deploying all the time, this is very good to use. Just one virtual machine, one template, and you can build 5, 6 services, which will be your small, medium, large, extra large, whatever large deployment with one template. All right. Let's see. Nope, that was not what I need to do. Oops. Sorry. Okay. So now we've got everything managed. We know we got our fabrics. We're deploying virtual machines. Now it's actually time to start monitoring. Do we still have resources enough? Are all my virtual machines healthy? And so on and so on. Are my hosts healthy? Also very important. One of the tools we can use for that is Operations Manager from System Center. Now, when you think about what you need to do in your management, there are a few things. First is discovery. One of the things I really would not like to do in larger environments is to make sure that I have to add everything that is new myself into monitoring. It needs to discover this by itself. Second thing you want is that it's been monitored. Of course, you need to see alerts. You need to know when there are troubles today or possible troubles in a couple of weeks, couple of days, something like that. You need to have that into visualization. One of the real things we saw a lot into companies is that you got the first line with a company, whether you want to call them service desk or help desk, and that they are doing all their work on Windows servers and application and have no idea how the virtualization layer looks like, no idea what the network looks like, and doesn't even know what the storage is. Just giving them that visualization through the monitoring helps doing the job. And then, of course, very important here is reporting. How many resources do I have? How long can I hold it with my 5 VMware hosts? Maybe I need to buy a new one. When do I need to buy it? In a couple of months, tomorrow? Those kind of things are very important. And again, Operations Manager. Every time we see shows like this, every time we see presentations, they are talking about how to do monitoring on Microsoft. But Operations Manager is just a framework. And the nice thing about the fact that it's a framework is that you can actually monitor everything with it. The only thing you need to have is that knowledge placed in that framework. Now, there are many ways of doing that. You can do it completely yourself, which means you probably have a lot of work making sure that you got the right rules in and so on. But you can also buy from third-party vendors specific managed packs. Now, in our scenario, to do our hypervisors, what we need, first we need the SCVMM managed pack. How you do that, you will make sure that VMM Operations Manager are tied to each other, and it will be done automatically. You also need the Hyper-V management pack. Even if you're not running Hyper-V host, you still need it because it works together with VMM management pack, so you need those. And then we've got two management packs that you can use within your environment if you've got Xen or VMware. Let's have a look. First is the Xen management pack. It's built by a company called Comtrade. You see the link over there, managementproducts.comtrade.com. And it will allow you to monitor everything from your Xen service. You will see your hosts, you will see your pools, your shared storage. It will give you many alerts when there are machines that are running badly on CPU and then you need to give them more. Or the other way around, when you got machines, you gave them way too much CPU or memory. He will tell you, yeah, but this one is overcommitted. Maybe you can take some things away. You get a fantastic topology map. You can actually see all your hosts, which virtual machine is running where, connected to which storage, to which network, and so on and so on. The nice thing about this is fully live. Even if you migrate virtual machines from one host to another, you will see that it gets updated as well. And it's completely agentless. You do not need to install anything on your Xen hosts. It will work through Operations Manager. It will have a collector that will get all that information and puts it into that framework. And it gives you a few advantages. The same for VMware Managed Pack that's built by Veeam. There are other ones out there as well that will give you all that insight into your VMware environment. Full maps. Make sure monitoring. Make sure if something's going to happen that you're already being warned, your data store probably is getting a bit too full or is being overcommitted or whatever else alarm you can think of. And it's got a full knowledge base. That means that your service desk and your help desk are used working into Windows environments and using maybe Operations Manager to do their job, suddenly get that same information for other software technologies as well. And they get it in their consoles And then they can use that to maybe troubleshoot or just get to the right people saying, something is wrong here, we need to act on it. You guys are the virtualization guys, get this fixed into VMware. So, I already talked briefly about it, but you need to make sure if you want to import this management pack that you have to configure the integration with Operations Manager. Is it difficult? No, but one of the things that people do forget is that you have to have that Operations Manager console installed on the Virtual Machine Manager server. That's it, just the console, nothing more. You also need PowerShell 2, which is normally not a problem with modern operating systems, and you have to make sure that the prerequisite management packs from Microsoft have been deployed to Operations Manager, which are the SQL one, IIS one, and an operating system one. So you need those as well before you do that integration. All right? Let's see how it looks into Operations Manager. So for example, let's start with a simple topology. So again, we've got those two ASXs here. I've got my cluster, I've got my two ASXs, I even got my VLAP created and things like that. And then you will see that with these management packs, you go that step further. You're not only going to see your virtualization layer, but you actually see your hardware as well, which means that you will be able to see whatever sensor is in that box. So I got some sensors on my RAM, I got some sensors on temperature, and so on. You will see your HBAs, you will see your NICs, and you will see whether your machines are in maintenance mode as well. Why is that important? Because if one of the guys still uses vCenter to put his host into maintenance mode, then you will get a lot of alarms in Operations Manager. By making sure it's synced, he will put them out in gray and does not start the alarm. Because if a guy puts it in maintenance mode, he's probably working on it, and you don't want to be alarmed through Operations Manager. And then, of course, because of that tight integration, you will be able to go that one step further. So you see my lab, you see my hardware, you will see the virtual machines that are running on it. Here we go. And now the nice thing about this is because everything is within that one framework, we can now, and let me quickly look for a good one. Where is my SQL Server? I'm not finding it here. Oh, sorry. That's actually, oh my wrong. I forgot I migrated that one. Here we go. Here we go. Because that full integration and with the power of Operations Manager, now you will also be able to see straight from your virtualization layer, my SQL is running on that host. It's looking healthy. I can also see what operating system is running and what kind of applications we are monitoring. So in this case, we can see it's a color with Microsoft Windows Server. It's a 2012. We're running some SQL Server instances on it. You get that information. So you see from the metal, from your hardware, all the way through your application in one view. And that means if we got an alarm on one of these machines, your help desk, your service desk, or whatever it's been called, can quickly pinpoint where is the issue. Where do I need to be, and which team do I need to contact to fix this without needing to call everybody up to make sure that everybody's looking where everything is running. So I think this is very handy if you bring that all together into one solution. And then, of course, you got some more things that you can do. You got, of course, your basic alerting, and you will see that I really need to start working after this conference because I got quite some alarms in my environment, so I've got some work to do. But you have also a lot of information that you will see. If you're going to look, for example, to my data stores, and you will see on VMware, it will collect all that information about how much is the pressure, how is it with my IOPS, and so on. If at least it wants to load now, here it comes. And we will see which data stores might be an issue. We will see the ones that are loaded the most. Maybe we need to move some VMs to other data stores, that kind of thing. And this can be used by your management team to make sure that everything is a better place on different hosts. While this is loading, oh, here it is. Here we go. And so we can see that one of my SSDs as a data store kind of has a huge latency. So probably there's something wrong. The nice thing about Operations Manager and the integration with all these tools is that I now can quickly go to navigation and go to my data store latency analysis. And then, because I was at that specific SSD, it will jump onto that and get all the information you need for your VMware guys to troubleshoot this specific data store. So you can see I've got some peaks here, and one of my VSAs is actually making trouble here, and so on. So you get all that information for you, you pass that to the virtualization team, and they can start working fixing those things. Also talked about reporting, very important here. What you want to know is, let's see this one. This is again about the data stores, what they've been doing the last 2 months, what needs to be changed, and you will get all this information. What's the growth? In my case, it's actually going down. That means I'm doing less the last 2 months. But in your environment, you want to see if you're using more IOPS and so on. So you can see all those on reports. And we go even one step further. Instead of just doing this, we might be able to give you a forecast. Now, if you're going to look at my forecast of my CPU, of my cluster here, you will see it's not bad. This is my CPU utilization over the last quarter, I think. You can put those dates yourself, and of course, the more data. And it will forecast what it's going to do for the next 30, next 60, next year maybe. Now, in this case, I'm probably not going to hit my limit, but if we're going to look at the memory usage, then you will see that it was actually starting to grow at a certain moment and going to my threshold. Now, in the end, I stopped some machines, so it dropped again. But you can see that, and in your own environment, you can see those trends, and maybe, based on this graphic, say, you know what, boss, probably in 3 months, we'll hit our limit. If you order our hardware already today, it will be ready by the time we hit the limit, and we don't have to tell to our end users, sorry, you need to wait until we bought new hardware. You can use those reports. All right. What else can I tell you? Yeah. Oops. Okay. Now let's talk about the next part here, and that's orchestration. Orchestration or automation, which is, of course, very important. The less you have to do as an IT administrator, the better. I'm one of those lazy administrators that likes to do not much, so if you can do a lot of this, this is great. Now, one of the things I hear a lot from IT pros telling me is, yeah, but if we use automation, then I'll lose my job. You still have to build this. And there will still be new technologies, so you have to automate again. So don't be scared. Actually use this to make your work easier and to do things that your end users actually can use. So orchestration is actually making sure with one tool called System Center Orchestrator that this service management with a service catalog, whether you're using a service manager of System Center or you're using something from HP or BMC, that automatic ticketing from your operations tool gets inside there without guys needing to type in everything. That you talk to virtual machine managers to do hardware provisioning, to do virtual workload provisioning, that kind of things. That when there's an alarm, and it's a big one, that automatically it does a workflow to try to collect data maybe, or even fix it if it's a known alarm. And even backup as well, which you can do fully through this automation tool. Now, Orchestrator works with so-called integration packs. And an integration pack is just a collection of activities. And one activity is doing something against a technology. Now, here's the thing. When we look at Orchestrator, we see that there's an integration pack for Virtual Machine Manager, but there's one for VMware, but there's none for Xen. And we'll come back to that in a second. And these are some activities you can do with that Virtual Machine Manager integration pack. You can create a network adapter, you can create a new disk, you can move a VM, create a VM, all those kind of things. Now, if you look at the names of these activities, then you can see that with some of these activities, you can just build automatically a virtual machine. It's exactly what you're doing with your hands in a GUI, but now it's done for you through a workflow. And the same goes from VMware. With Orchestrator, you can talk to vCenter, and you can do all this kind of things here. This is actually not even correct anymore because they updated it a week or two ago. So we even have more activities already running within Orchestrator that you can use to do all this kind of things. And I'll show you what it actually can do and how you need to use that. But then again, what about Xen? We don't have an integration pack for Xen. How are we going to talk to Xen? Well, there are two ways. One, because we have Xen in our virtual machine manager, we can use the virtual machine manager IP integration pack to build our virtual machines. Orchestrator doesn't know you're deploying it to Xen server. He doesn't need to know. Virtual Machine Manager knows, and that's enough. Or you can always use PowerShell. And Orchestrator is very powerful in having activity use PowerShell. That means every technology that you own within your company, whether it's storage, whether it's networking or whatever, you can talk with Orchestrator straight to that and build, manage, or whatever you want to do through Orchestrator. But again, let's go to, let's switch over, and let's go to Orchestrator. Now this is the look and feel of Orchestrator, and this is actually one of my automation workflows. And you see, I have not done any scripting or nothing. I just said I get data from somewhere. That data can come from a ticketing system, from a website, so that somebody has to fill in some data. But it also can come from your operations manager that puts in an alarm and says this machine has issues on that host. Do something, right? And we just start. We get our information from the hosts. We stop a virtual machine. We reconfigure a machine, and we start. And I'll explain that in a second. But before I do that, let me just quickly go here and say new runbook, because that's what I call it, where you call it workflow runbook. It's called runbook here. And now I can start building. So the first thing I can do, for example, is make sure I get some data. Yes, I want to check out. And then maybe I can look now at the VMware managed pack, and we can start building stuff. We can say, for example, well, the first thing I want to do is clone a Windows virtual machine. I'm going to connect those so they actually are connected, and all the data, all the parameters that you can get back from that activity are on that bus, so you can use it in the next one. And the only thing I have to do now is actually say, well, I'm going to connect it to my vCenter, which I've configured once, and then I can reuse, and then I can start building. And as you can see, I can actually now see all the stuff that is on my cluster because it's got connection. Now, this is, of course, not good because then you would make a fixed workflow every time again with always the same parameters. Now, the nice thing here is that what I can do, and I'll close this one for a second, is, for example, with the initialized data, I'll create a few parameters. I'm going to give them, for example, let's say, name. We've got CPU or something. And we might have memory, something like that. Here we go. Finish. And now if I go back to this activity, because they are linked, we can actually, and I probably took kind of the wrong thing, but we can say here, for example, I'm not going to take 512, but right-click, subscribe to the published data, and I can use the data that's been coming from the previous activities, which means I can build a lot of optimization, one workflow that will suit many different people. People can create on a website, I want 1 gigabyte of RAM, 4 CPUs, and you just get that data and build your templates from there. All right, so let me go quickly to this one because I'll be using this in my full scenario here. And so the first thing we get into this workflow is that we're actually going to analyze the data. So we're going to get from somewhere, and I'll show you, CPU, virtual machine name, memory. That's it, nothing more. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to connect to vCenter, and based on a filter, we're going to query vCenter, look, I'm searching for a specific virtual machine with that name. Nothing more. Now, he will find that, and then what we're going to do is, based on that results, we're going to get our parameters, all the configuration of that virtual machine. Now we know that, we know where we need to seek, we know how to touch it, we can start with the actual work, what we need to do. And in this case, our scenario is just stop the virtual machine. And you can see you can choose to gracefully shut down or just, you know, kill it as well. And then I've got this reconfigure VM. And the only thing I do now is make sure that my memory has changed my CPU. Oh, by the way, if I'm going to go to optional parameters, you will see that I can change a lot on a virtual machine running on VMware. A lot of parameters you can also do here as well. And finally, of course, I start my virtual machine back to make sure it's working. Looks simple. You can build it very quickly. Now, Again, if you want to do this, this is built in like 10 minutes, but I've got no control in it. Means if something goes wrong, whatever the reason, I will just get from this workbook, fail. And that's of course not good. So if you go to an orchestrated session done by Pete Zerger, you will see how you need to make sure that you build in some control mechanisms, then an IT administrator get notified and so on. But for the purpose of this demo, I just kept it as easy as it is here. All right. Wrong again. Well, let's talk about taking all these different things together and see what we can do it. And in the example, and I actually have to switch already again, what I'm going to do is this. So I've got here somewhere a report, if it's still open. Where are you? Here. This is called a right sizing report. And the only thing it tells me is, well, we are looking for an amount of time, how many CPU, how many memory that virtual machine has, and what it is actually using. And one of my domain controls here, DC02, is actually using on an average 2.32 gigabyte of RAM. It's got a maximum of 3.37 that it once reached, but we kind of gave him almost 10 gigabyte of RAM. So that might be a little bit too much for that machine. And because you get all that information from your VMware host into Operations Manager, you get these graphs which you can use and you can change those. Don't look at the last week because that's when I'm rehearsing my demos and you see everything moving. But you can see in front that I'm actually not using that much. Now the same thing we can see for our CPUs. If I'm going to do my domain controller, you see that we got four CPUs while it says, you know what, one is more than enough. You can save those. Now, because you have overcommit and those kind of things, you might think, nah, that's not even necessary. But on the other hand, even if you give it four CPUs, it still needs to allocate those, which still means resources you are using that you can give to other machines. So now we got this information. It's in a report. I'm the manager. And now I want to add this to a request to make sure this gets changed, because this is really too big, the domain controller. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to my portal. I've got this portal, self-service portal. You can build some catalogs in here, and I'm going to go to virtual machines. And as in the manager, I've got a few things I can do, and one of these that I can request is actually do a reconfigure of the virtual machine. Remember that workflow I showed you? That is exactly what we're going to use. All right, so I'm going to go to the request form, and this is what the manager gets. He needs to fill in the virtual machine name. By the way, I didn't do this, but if you put a little bit more logic in it, you can actually do this with drop-down lists as well, so that people don't have to type and make those mistakes. But I was the lazy administrator, remember? So I'm going to make sure that it only got one virtual machine, and we're going to give him, well, let's give him 5,000 megabyte of memory. I'm going to go next. You get, are you sure you want to submit this? Yes, we do. We do submit, and now what it's actually doing for me, it's creating a ticket within a ticketing system, puts all that information, and here we go, the manager has started, and he can actually go to that request and make sure to follow whatever happens. Now let's see what the guy from Service Desk is going to see. Now, the next part in our scenario is that we actually have an incident or a request ticket. So I'm going to go to my Service Desk. No, sorry, wrong server. Here we go. I'm going to go to my work items, and I'm going to have a look at my service request. And this is just came in. So we got a new service request. I'm the administrator here. I'm going to have a look. And what we see is that a person has requested to recover a virtual machine. So we get all the input the user is giving. I've built this on a template, which is like a 10-minute work to make sure that we have the right area, that we have the right subject, and so on and so on. So we got that one inside. And then you will see that we can actually have activities. And in this case, I've got two activities. One is a manual activity, meaning it needs to get approved. Do you need this? Well, that will depend on your workflows. But in my case, it needs to get approved. And the second one is a connection to Orchestrator that will fire up that runbook and actually do the work for you. Now, Before I'm going to approve the activity, one of the things I can do also is add related items. And this is again something nice. This is System Center, this is Microsoft technology. But because we've got all the information of VMware in Operations Manager, or from Sensor for that matter, we can sync that to Service Manager, which means if I add here one of my CIs, and I'm going to browse to Virtual Machine. Here we go. You will see that all my assets from VMware are in this tool as well. Automatically, it will update every day depending on your settings without you needing to do something, without you needing to manually fill in your configuration manager database. So this is my domain controller that has been affected. I'll add that. And now back to those activities. We got our review activity. I'm going to have a look here. All right, get approval. Yes, yes, I'm the administrator. Great. You can see here that you really can build up some nice workflows. You can actually say that the line manager needs to approve. So if it's a developer, that his boss needs to approve whether he can deploy something, reconfigure something, and not the administrator. You can all do that without any issues. So I'm going to approve this. I need to type in something, good idea, save some fabrics. All right, make some typing mistakes. Okay. It's been approved, and now what will happen is that the next part will kick in, and that's that run block. And this is the moment I'm going to cheat in my demo for a second. Why is that? Because you're not 100% sure that the run block will start now. It will start now and between 15 minutes, sort of. Now, I'm not going to stand here and let us wait all 15 minutes before the run block. I'm going to force it to run. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you first vCenter. If we're going to look at vCenter, please come. Here we go. Then you see that this is my vCenter. It's got my domain controller. It's still got 4 CPUs at this moment, and it's got 10 gigabyte more or less memory. All right. Now that we know that, let me go to my runbook again. Wrong server. Here we go. And let's see if we can run this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my tester here to see whether it works and to force it to run immediately. So with the runbook tester, you can actually test before you actually implement all these flows. So let me quickly type this again. It was one, I believe it was DC02. And we said 5,000 if I'm not mistaken. Here we go. Okay. And I will actually see that we'll start collecting the data, do all those activities. Now, if I'm quickly, we can go back to this one here. And then soon, what we're going to see in vCenter is that it automatically will be shut down the machine, it will be reconfigured, and it will start again. And this is all done through that automation tool. You don't have to do anymore. So you can see now that I'm actually shutting down, if I'm not mistaken. Can't read it from here. Yeah, it's working. From the moment it's shutting down, you will see that an activity will start called reconfigure, and we will see that we'll switch from 4 CPUs to 1 CPU, and it's already done, going to 5 gig of memory. We'll start the machine again, and my runbook is actually finished now, and the job is done. Now, if I'm going to look back at that runbook tester that we were playing with, then you can see here, all these different activities have run. You can get the feedback, you get the details, and it actually works. Right? So after that, when we have done that, then the next thing, of course, is that we need to have some feedback for the end user. He needs to know, well, the job is done. And it is also arranged. Now, because it will fail here, let me go quickly here. Oh, I forgot this. With a bit of luck, this has already failed now because I blocked that he couldn't start it from here. It hasn't yet. Come on. Let's refresh for a second. No, but I'll show you otherwise. Going to go back to my portal. And what you're actually going to see, let me refresh this one, is that that person is able to follow everything which has happened. That means he will see that somebody has approved or rejected the request, as you can see. The review reconfigure activity, it's completing, and the other one is still pending. He sees the hours, he sees who's doing it. So he gets all that information. I haven't done anything. It's all out of the box and it works for you. And this way, you can take all of these different components, put them together, and where it's Hyper-V, where it's VMware, where it's Xen, it doesn't matter. It just works on all of these hypervisors. All right. So, to sum up of the session, I don't believe anymore that the hypervisor choice is the important one. Talk to your company, see what the features are, what you exactly need, choose the hypervisor that is suited for you. But on the other hand, if you talk about management, this is what's becoming important. This is what you need to build your private cloud, maybe your hybrid cloud, and who knows, later on, go to a public cloud. And again, whatever cloud you're choosing, you need to be sure that at that time, your management solutions can manage them all. Because every time you change from vendor, if you need to change your management solutions as well, it's going to take a long time. It's going to get you a lot of trouble, a lot of effort, and then you're back into just firefighting. Think about this, use those tools, try them out, and you will see that your life will become much, and you can do your real IT work, you can build those workflows, you can build templates, you can help your end users. All right, with that, I'm going to end the session here. Now, are there any questions? Yes. VMware?
Yeah, VMware has the FT feature, right? Fault tolerance.
Fault tolerance. Can you use it? Yes. Now, it needs to... again, this is one of these things. Are you going to use it through VMM or through vCenter? Make a choice. Don't use them at the same time. Again, you will probably get clashes because if they both see it sort of like the same time, they're both going to try to take action, something is going to go wrong. But that is a decision you have to take. You're going to do it through one thing, or you say, yeah, some of these will keep it at vCenter. Any more questions? No? All right. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the show, and maybe see you next time.